Imagine for a moment that you are walking into the lobby of an old apartment building. It is a building in a neighborhood that has been here for a long time, the kind with green and white tile on the floor that has worn unevenly with decades of footsteps and a smell of old wood and rain on coats. On the wall, to your right, just inside the front door, there's a tall, narrow row of small metal mailboxes. Each one has a brass keyhole at the bottom, and each one has a small white label slipped into a slot above it. On those labels, in different handwriting, are the names of the people who live here. Apartment 3A, Marina Wallace. Apartment 3B, Tomas Beltran. Apartment 4A, Hannah Suzuki. 40 boxes, 40 labels, 40 names. Each box belongs to a particular person. Each box holds whatever the postal carrier has dropped into it that day. A bill, a card from a niece in another city, a thin catalog from a shop the resident has not visited in years. The boxes are not interchangeable. The mail in box 3A belongs to Marina, not to Tomas, not to Hannah. The name on the label tells you, with no ambiguity, whose mail is inside. If you look closely, you might notice something else about these boxes. The labels are old. The handwriting on some of them is faded. The names are the names of people who have been living here for years, maybe decades. The label on a mailbox does not change very often. When a tenant moves out, eventually a new label is slipped in. But for the most part, the labels stay. The name on the box is settled. The box, for as long as that label is there, holds mail addressed to that one person. That image, the label box that holds something specific settled and addressed only by its name, is exactly the image you want in your head for what we're going to talk about today. Because today we're going to look at the smallest, most fundamental thing a program can hold on to. This is Rust Gently, a patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I'm your host. This is episode 8, Holding a Value. Today, you're going to learn what it means for a program to hold a value. You're going to meet the keyword that puts a value into a labeled box for the first time in the Rust language. You will see, in plain words, how Rust handles those boxes a little differently from most other languages, in a way that turns out to be one of the most important reasons that the language is as steady as it is. By the end of the episode, you'll be able to read a line of Rust that creates a variable, and you will know exactly what is happening every step. Let me back up to why a program needs any of this in the first place. Last episode, we read a small program. Three lines. The whole thing did one thing. It printed the words, "Hello World," to the screen. That was useful as a first reading exercise, but it is not what a real program looks like. A real program does many things in sequence, and along the way, it needs to remember things. Imagine the kitchen recipe one more time. The recipe might say, melt 3 tablespoons of butter in the pan. Then, several steps later, it might say, drizzle the melted butter over the dish before serving. In between those two steps, the cook has to remember which butter is the melted butter, because by then she has also poured oil into another pan, and there might be a stick of cold butter still sitting on the counter. The recipe, if it is being careful, will give the melted butter a name. It might say, melt 3 tablespoons of butter in the pan. Set the melted butter aside in a small bowl on the counter. Later, when it is time to drizzle, the recipe will refer to it by that name. A program does the same thing. As it runs through its steps, it accumulates values, the way the cook accumulates things on the counter, and it needs to be able to refer to those values by name later. The way it does this is by attaching a name to a value, the same way the brass mailbox in the lobby has a paper label slipped into the slot above it. The name lives on the outside. The value lives inside. As long as the name is in place, you can reach inside the box by referring to the name, and the value will be there. In programming, this label box arrangement is called a variable. A variable is just a name attached to a value. That is the whole concept. Every programming language in the world has some version of it, because no useful program can be written without it. What is interesting, and what we're going to spend some real time on today, is how Rust thinks about variables, because Rust has an opinion about them that most other languages do not. Let me show you what creating a variable in Rust looks like. I'm going to read a single line of Rust out loud, the way we did with Hello World. The line says, the keyword let, a space, the name butter, a space, an equal sign, a space, 200, a semicolon. That is the whole line. Five small pieces, plus a semicolon. Let me walk through each of them. The keyword let, those three letters L, E, T, is how Rust tells the compiler, I am about to create a new variable. It is the spoken equivalent of slipping a fresh paper label into the slot above an empty mailbox. After let comes a space, and then the name of the variable. In this case, butter. Rust has only a few rules for what you can name a variable. The name has to start with a letter or an underscore. It cannot contain spaces. By convention, in Rust, names are written in what is called snake case, which means all lowercase letters, with underscores between words. So if I wanted to call the variable melted butter with two words, I would write melted underscore butter with no space in between. That convention is shared by the entire Rust community. When you read code in this language, you will see snake case everywhere, and after a while, your eye will get used to it. After the name comes the equals sign, which in Rust is read not as a question about equality, but as the assignment, as the act of putting a value into the box. To the left of the equals sign, the name. To the right of the equals sign, the value. In this example, the value is 200. That number is now sitting in the box labeled butter. Anywhere later in the program, if you write the name butter, the program will reach into that box and take out the number 200. The line ends with a semicolon, which, as we learned last time, is Rust's way of saying, this statement is finished. End of sentence. Move on. Now, here is where Rust starts to be its own language, and where the most interesting opinion about variables in modern programming begins to show up. In most languages, once you have created a variable, you can change what is in the box anytime you like. You could write, on a later line, butter equals 300, and the box would now hold 300 instead of 200. The old value is gone. The new value has taken its place. This is the default behavior in almost every language you have ever heard of. In Rust, that is not the default. In Rust, by default, the value in the box, once you have put it there, cannot be changed. The box is sealed. If you write a later line that says butter equals 300, the compiler will stop the program and say no. You told me earlier that butter holds 200, and I have been planning the rest of the program assuming that. I cannot just let you change it without warning. This is, when you first hear about it, a slightly surprising rule. New programmers sometimes find it frustrating, but the rule exists for a good reason. Most bugs in software come from someone changing a value somewhere in a program when somebody else, somewhere else in the same program, was assuming the value had not changed. By making variables unchangeable by default, Rust closes off an entire category of those bugs before they can ever happen. If you actually do want to change the value later, Rust lets you, but you have to ask for it explicitly. You write the same line, but with one extra word. You write the keyword let, then the small word mut, M-U-T, short for mutable, then the name butter, then equals, then 200. The mut word is your signal to the compiler and to anyone else reading the code that this particular box is allowed to hold different things at different times. You are choosing deliberately to keep it open. Most variables in real Rust code do not have mut. They are settled like the labels on the mailboxes in our apartment lobby, and they stay settled for the life of the program. This single design choice, immutability by default, is one of the reasons Rust feels different from the languages you may have heard of. It pushes you, gently, toward writing code where each value has a clear, unchanging meaning. It makes programs easier to reason about. It makes them easier to read, because when you see a name, you know it always refers to the same thing. And it makes them dramatically less likely to break in mysterious ways months down the line when someone else, working in another part of the code base, accidentally changes a value that your code, was depending on. Most of the time, as the orchestrator working alongside an artificial intelligence agent, this matters to you because it changes what the agent can do. The agent can write a function full of variables. None of those variables, by default, can be quietly mutated halfway through. When you read the agent's output, you do not have to trace every value through every line, wondering whether it might have been changed somewhere along the way. The compiler has already enforced that constraint. You can read with confidence. There is a second, subtler effect that comes from this default, and it is worth noticing. When a programmer, human or otherwise, sits down to write a piece of code in a language where everything is mutable by default, they have a choice to make every time they introduce a variable, whether or not to plan for a changing later. Most of the time, they do not consciously make that choice. They just write the code and move on. By the time the code is finished, the program is full of variables that could change, even though most of them never will. That hidden uncertainty makes the code harder to reason about, because the reader has no way to know which variables are settled and which ones are not. Rust flips this around. By making immutability the default, Rust forces a programmer to mark, explicitly, only those few variables that are genuinely meant to change. The rest are clearly settled. Reading a piece of Rust code, you can see at a glance which boxes are sealed and which boxes are open, because the open ones have the small word mut written above them. That, more than almost any other feature in the language, is what makes Rust code feel calm to read once you are used to it. The pattern shows up in real production code all over the industry. At Cloudflare, when their engineers rewrote their web proxy in Rust, the use of immutable variables across the code base made it possible to reason about the proxy's behavior under extreme load, where any tiny unexpected mutation would have been catastrophic at the scale of a trillion requests per day. At Discord, the rewrite of their Red State service made heavy use of immutable variables to remove a class of concurrency bugs that have been causing their famous tail latency spikes for years. The general pattern is the same in every project that picks Rust seriously. Default immutability is one of those quiet features that does not announce itself, but that is doing a lot of the work invisibly under the surface of every steady piece of Rust software in production. You can see the same idea outside of Rust, in fields very far from programming. In any system that has to be reliable, settled state, the kind of state that does not change unexpectedly is what makes the system safe to depend on. The signs above the highway do not change while you're looking at them. The numbers on a calculator's keys do not migrate around the keypad. Your house's mailing address does not silently update in the middle of the year. A whole layer of trust in human-built systems comes from things staying put. Rust is one of the few programming languages that takes that observation seriously and applies it to the smallest building block in the language. The default is things stay put. If you want them to change, you have to say so. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that a variable in any programming language is just a labeled box holding a value, and the name you write is how you refer to whatever is inside. The second is that in Rust, you create a variable with the keyword let, followed by a name in snake case, an equals sign, the value, and a semicolon. The third is that in Rust, those values, once placed in a box, do not change unless you specifically ask for the box to be openable by writing the small word mut after let. And that single design choice is one of the quiet reasons Rust software stays so steady under real-world load. Next time on Rust, gently, we will talk about the kinds of things you can put inside one of these boxes. Numbers, words, true and false, and a few others. We will see why the computer cares about the difference, why Rust cares more than most languages do, and what it means to attach a kind to a variable in the first place. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.